Hey, hi. Welcome to TV Casualty, the podcast about TV shows I've never seen. I'm your host, Micah Brucey. You know that already by now. I hope you know it, or, you know, if you don't, welcome. Thanks for coming. Well, you know, we'll see if you're... I don't want to make a cum joke already.
You'll see if they're going to come.
I'll see if they're going to come. It's not guaranteed.
Oh, they'll fucking come.
Well, so... We are here, the man who thinks I'm going to make people come.
I know you're going to make people come.
He knows. So we have here, beautiful man, comedian, podcast host, DJ, Dr. Dick and Butt. A beautiful man, my roommate.
Hi.
Will Winner.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. God bless you.
Yay.
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 Yay. Yay. Wow, thank you so much. What an honor.
Yeah, I know. What a true honor this is for us.
I feel like I'm hiding behind this microphone screen. It's nice to see you.
It was fun. I was going to be like, how are you? We were at home together. we traveled here together.
Yeah, we probably should have come separately because we've, like, gotten too comfortable already. But this is ideal, right?
Yeah, I think this is it.
Yeah?
This is what we want. We rode the train together with a woman that's smelled very bad.
She was on the verge of death. There was something going on.
Yeah. I don't know. There was liquid. I don't know if it was pee. But there was liquid and a lot of straws.
And it looked like when, like, after somebody's been dead for a little bit and their like, insides are expanding outward, that's what was going on with that right leg. That right leg was not looking right.
Yeah, it was blown up. She had a blown up leg.
Very stinky.
Mm-hmm.
Feel bad. Seemed like a sweet gal, but she's definitely on her way out.
Yeah, that's just, you know, your typical Big Apple, Bison, New York City commute.
That's what we call a Brooklyn Wednesday. I love that intro, but I always hear myself and it's just like, comedian, DJ, podcaster, and I'm just like, I'm such a fucking Brooklyn douchebag, man. Fucking Renaissance man over here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do stand up, but also I got a podcast.
But I got a lot of interests, folks. It's mostly cum. It's mostly Mike making you cum on this podcast today.
That's your big interest.
Well, you know, whenever we talk, it's my primary question that I'm asking you first.
That's true. Yeah.
One of my great theories in life is that all happiness is related to how it feels in your penis every day. And if you were a lady, how it feels in your vagina. Like, I feel like however that your penis or vagina feels is how you feel.
Yeah, we have a real penis-based relationship.
Yeah, we're always grabbing it, touching it.
Yeah, we're grabbing each other's dicks. It's pretty fun. You're grabbing your own dick a lot.
You know, roommates. You know? Mostly me grabbing my dick, let's be honest. Yeah. I gotta put my hands on the table.
Hands on the table.
Podcast rule. I'm just gonna...
There's like a plush hamburger-shaped CD holder that Will got like real familiar with quickly.
It's like it's a cheeseburger pillow CD case, and the size of it is really nice, and I really like squeezing it. I have a little bit OCD around things that I like to touch, and I really like touching this, Mike. Thank you so much. Thank you, Leaf, for the providing the pillow.
This is great.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I think it's great. You were holding it really tight.
Yeah,
you're kind of mice and menning it a little bit.
Well, I don't want to break it.
Yeah, of course not.
I want to, but it feels good to like really give it a squeeze, you know?
Can I?
Yeah, you want to squeeze the burger pillow? Ooh, same time.
Oh, we're squeezing same time. You can't see it on the podcast, but I think you can feel it.
Oh. Uh-huh. It's a dangerous thing. Now I'm all hot and bothered.
Woo. This is what happens when you leave us alone together for too long. Or honestly, not even that long.
Yeah,
we haven't been here for that.
Yeah.
I don't care. You can watch, dude. This is going down.
We're a very open household.
Beautiful day in the city.
Yeah.
Couple of hot boys with some microphones on. Let's get to it.
We feel great. Cool. So we are here today to talk about, I would say, one of the, opinion seems to be one of the greatest television shows of all time.
Nay, the greatest is my opinion.
You think the greatest?
Yes.
Ooh, okay. I was thrown at top five.
You got
an opinion. I don't, you know. we're here because I've seen one episode. but the way it feels, it seems like this and Sopranos are kind of like neck and neck.
Yes, I'm a big fan of Breaking Bad, which is the show that we're
here to talk about Breaking
Bad.
No, that's fine.
I really popped the cherry on that.
Yeah, that's fine. I was going to say, if they've seen the title of the episode, they know what we're talking about.
Breaking Bad is my favorite. I love Sopranos. Yeah. I love Mad Men. I love ER. I love The Leftovers. I love Lost. Not a huge Game of Thrones guys because I don't fuck with fantasy.
Same.
But Breaking Bad is so fucking good, dude. And I've converted so many haters into believers. Like, I just give people, like, if you can watch the first two episodes and not want to watch the third, then you're fucked up in the game, dude. You don't like what humanity likes. And, like, maybe, I don't know. I don't know. There's something wrong with you.
Yeah. No, I get, yeah, the first episode I watched, so I watched the pilot today about, let's say, 2 hours ago. And I realized that I had already seen it. I think either you or our other roommate Kyle.
I think
watched
Kyle
it.
Went through a phase where he rewatched the whole series again.
Yeah, so maybe I watched it. Maybe I watched the first episode with him, but I was like watching it and I was like, oh yeah, I've seen this. Oh yeah, this is really good.
Really
oh yeah,
good.
This episode is great.
But you still didn't want to watch the rest of it.
No, I do. I think I will, but I just had like I try so hard. Like I did Mad Men a couple weeks ago.
How many episodes did you get?
I'm like four in right now.
Mad Men is a real slow burn.
Yeah.
So that's a binge watcher for me. Like if you were going to try and be judicious about watching a little bit every day, Mad Men would be, it'd be like if you took up meditation, you'd be like, wow, this is great. I love it.
Yeah.
And then like 2 weeks later, you might just be like, oh, fuck that shit. It's too much time. But Breaking Bad is like fucking coke, man.
You just want to do it all.
You just want to do it all the time and do it all at once.
And just do it in public.
And it's awesome like coke, man. Do coke and watch Breaking Bad.
Those are two things I've. Well, after today, I've done one of them now.
Hey,
hello.
Well, we could really get this party started.
Just fucking do. Just
do coke and come.
Just do a bunch of blow and watch more Breaking Bad.
Hey, it wouldn't be the first time I've done it on a podcast, baby. I'll show you the way.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I just that's one thing I haven't done enough in my life is cocaine on a podcast. I think that's what the game is missing. Me coked up on a podcast talking just talking nonsense.
Strangely, people really don't like it. It always sounds cooler than it is. People really don't like it. They don't even like the implication that you might be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that you might be on cocaine or that you might be doing it while you're recording.
Both. They don't want you, like, they're like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Get it together for your cast. Have a little bit of decorum.
Well, okay. So Will is the host of a podcast called The Good, the Dad, and the Ugly.
Yes.
With two of our friends, Casey James Lango and Patrick Schroeder. And I listen every week, and they had a thing going where if they got 10 was it 10 five-star ratings and reviews?
I don't know. We changed the number so many times.
Yeah.
We just wanted ratings and reviews. And then if we got enough, by episode 10, we were going to smoke crack.
Yeah. And you guys were really going to do it.
We were really going to do it. I didn't think it was a big deal. I've smoked crack before on accident.
Yeah.
And I don't really party that hard anymore. But I was kind of like, well, for the cast,
yeah,
I'll dip back into it. And then I told my girlfriend about it, and turns out she didn't think it was a good idea at all.
Weird.
Yeah.
Super and weird. Your girlfriend that loves you didn't want you to smoke crack for your podcast.
It really bummed her out, man. she was not happy.
Yeah.
And she said, I would definitely leave you if you smoked crack on your podcast. And I was just like, okay. And then we didn't do it, but somebody might have done something.
Yeah.
Not me. Listen to the cast.
Somebody
might have been on something.
Yeah. had a little fun that day.
Yeah.
Somebody had a little fun in episode
Somebody
10.
Might have been a little bit extra quick with the jokes on that cast.
You know, maybe they were going through something at the time.
I don't know. It's all part of the intrigue of the show.
Hey, folks. Rate, review, and subscribe to The Good, the Dead, and the Ugly.
Good, the Dead, and the Ugly. No topic. Patrick. Too
taboo. very true. But please, yeah, give him a rate, review, and subscribe because Patrick Schroeder has nothing else going on in his life.
No, he doesn't. Road to Roast Battle 2 and our pod.
This is I like when you really get inside baseball and make fun of your friends for the people. You know, probably only the people listening to this know who he is. So.
He's a diabetic, so he only has a certain amount of time to make his mark, guys, and you need to be fans now.
That's
get down
true.
With Patty now.
Yeah, you don't want to just be talking about how great he was at our tribute benefit for the family of Patrick Schroeder every year.
Yeah, he's known as the white, nerdy, uneducated Patrice from Florida.
Yeah.
So
all of those seemed are insults.
Yep.
Which is fun.
Good guy.
Yeah, great man. Cool. So Breaking Bad.
Yes.
The first episode was great.
Yes.
I loved it. I thought it was awesome. I loved Walter.
Walter's great.
He's great. I don't know. I just thought it was really great. The opening shot is them in the desert.
It's the flashback.
Yeah. And it's like beautifully shot. You're like, oh, this that makes you want to watch the show. The
pilot kind of sets up a lot of things, like devices that the show uses throughout. So there's a lot of flash forwarding in the show. And then the episode will be about how they got there.
Because I saw that, because one of the opening shots is just him pointing a gun down a road in the desert, and you hear, like, police sirens off in the distance, and you're like, how far into the series is this?
Because
you don't even know. You're like, what? You can't get here in one episode.
And they always do, dude. That's what makes it the shit. Like, Mad Men for payoff, sometimes you got to watch, like, season 4 of Mad Men, you have to watch about 10 episodes before you really get your Mad Men nut on.
Yeah.
Like, you get your fucking full on, like, Don Draper.
Yeah.
Like, whereas Breaking Bad, you are fucking every episode. And you are shooting your TV loads everywhere. And it is fucking amazing. And, like, you know, I love Sopranos, too, but Sopranos and Mad Men, both Matthew Weiner involved or Matthew Weiner adjacent, are very much experiential, right?
Okay.
It's about a vibe.
Yeah.
And like Sopranos has little story arcs. Mad Men has little story arcs with payoffs, but it's much more about a vibe. Like when you watch The Sopranos, it's cool to feel like you're part of the family.
Yeah.
Right?
Which I think a lot of people did.
Yeah.
They were like, you know, a lot of people really thickened their accents and bought some tracksuits after they watched The Sopranos.
Dude, it made a whole generation of insufferable New Jersey Italians, let's be honest.
I mean, yeah, and Long Island too, for sure.
I mean, but it was still fucking cool. I get why they wanted to do it.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But, you know, Breaking Bad, there's no episode about, like, Chrissy and Polly wandering off in the woods and burying a body, and it's somebody's, like, it's somebody's short play, and they let Christopher direct it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, like, his gift after 5 seasons.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad doesn't give shit about any of that. It's about driving the plot forward and raising the stakes, and it's about people dying. It's about hiding lies from your stupid wife.
Okay, so what's her name?
Skyler.
Yeah. So she was there, and immediately I was like, this woman is terrible.
Well, it's very controversial. So by the end of the show, you get to rooting for Walter so much as he's fucking everything up. And it was a point of contention where she was getting hate mail, the actress.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's rough.
Even though she just represents what's right and good.
Yeah.
But it's like the entire time, I think it really shines light on like my own toxic masculinity, because I'm just like, shut the fuck up, lady. I'm trying to make us millions of dollars for our children.
Yeah.
And then it's just like you start to learn just how deep in the rabbit hole you go and what a piece of shit you are for supporting this guy who is trying to become a drug kingpin.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, oh, this woman doesn't want her husband and the father of her children to go to jail because he's selling methamphetamine.
Yes.
And you're like, fuck you, lady. Yeah. Like, shut the fuck up and let the man sell meth.
Yeah. You don't understand what a man's world is like.
It's hard for them out there.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, man. But it's like you really indulge in it. What'd you think of Jesse? Were you about Jesse from the start?
No, I don't think. I think this Jesse was like kind of too ratty. And like
he gets more suave as it goes on.
Yeah, he's like
he's arguably a pretty bad actor at the start of the show.
He wasn't great. He was like real like it's like you know like when you can see someone thought too much about the character.
Yeah,
like that's what it felt like.
That type of smoldering DiCaprio intensity.
Yeah,
where it's like every episode he's like he looks like he's about to explode behind yeah. his eyeballs.
Yeah, when he's like. Hey, this isn't high school anymore. And shit like that. You're just like, all right, man, you're like a little too into like being this character.
Oh, and you can tell that his only credit before Breaking Bad was he was in that Korn video. Like, he's been playing dirty dudes from the desert with a lot of intensity for a minute. But it's another thing, like, Mad Men, January Jones' character is a bad actress, but then, like, they kind of write into the strengths of that.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, this lady who really shows no emotions, like, let's just make her a crazy weirdo for yeah. a season. And okay, it's just yeah. like, dope. Jesse, they're just like, well, this kind of kid is kind of stupid. And then that becomes like a huge theme to Jesse. He's a big, dumb, emotional idiot.
Yeah.
And he doesn't understand really the machinations of everything that's happening around him.
Yeah. Yeah, like, because it's like, From you know, because it's like the series went on for five. Also, I got in trouble recently about spoilers, so there's going to be spoilers for this whole episode. Someone got mad at me because I ruined a show for them or whatever. No, I'm kidding. It was a good friend of mine, then I felt bad.
No, I don't think that I've given away any spoilers.
No, yet. But I want to get okay. into stuff, so I'm going to just give a general. We're talking about television shows, so there's probably going to be spoilers.
Yes.
But it feels like, so obviously the show's on for five seasons, and you can just tell that, you know, Walter and Jesse, their business just, like, gets huge.
Yes.
Because in the first episode, he's, for some reason, washing money in the at a laundromat.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, that means that money is going to start coming in and picking up soon. So it's like Jesse is almost, like, he's this little fucking rat meth head who cooked bad meth. And sold it to people until he met up with Walter White. So it's like, there's no way he can handle it, like him becoming like a drug kingpin almost, or like one of them.
That is the central struggle of the whole series between them, is that Walter shouldn't need Jesse, but Jesse is the only person that he can fully trust.
Yeah, okay.
And Jesse is very good for Walt's life. Walt is arguably just the worst thing that ever happened to Jesse. But, strangely enough, he's the only one that cares about Jesse.
Yeah, because his family...
Because his parents have disowned him.
Yeah.
He's just a complete fuck-up, drug-addict piece of trash.
Yeah. I mean, in the first episode, his car has a vanity plate with his drug nickname. It's like, what the fuck? Like, that character is written to be the dumbest person that's ever lived.
Oh, dude, all of his friends... So we got. Did you meet Mike, his son in the first one? That's a
Walter Jr.
Walter Jr.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a big heart tug on you every episode.
Yeah, you're just like, oh god. The scene where Walt Jr. is trying on pants, and then like Walter has to go in there and help him, and then like these adult men are making fun of a teen with cerebral palsy. For some reason.
Dude, it sets it up pretty. I mean, the whole conceit of the show is about taking, like, the saddest dude in the world and giving him the most badass life. And then it's just like, god damn, why they gotta give his son cerebral palsy?
Yeah.
And then why do people, like, what kind of animals are out there making fun of it?
Making fun of a kid. it's obviously a teen there with his parents. And they're making fun of him. And then Walter... He like leaves unexpectedly, walks out of some back door in this clothing store, and then walks back in the front door, kicks the guy in the back of the knee, and then stomps on his calf for a while. And then I'm like, this guy went from being scared of holding a gun to kicking people in the back of the knee in front of his wife in...
And beating the shit out of Nito. Yeah. Well, more power to him.
Yeah.
That's got to be, I mean, you know, one of the pluses, I think, of raising a disabled child is if when you get to pop off on the people making fun of him.
Yeah.
Get to act like a little Superman style.
Yeah, you just get to... Man, I gotta get into a fight soon.
I can't wait to get married. So if somebody is just like, "You talk shit about my fucking wife."
Oh yeah, dude, your whole life is gonna be defending your wife now.
I can't wait.
Like not because it would be she'll be a bad person, just because I feel like if anyone's like, "Excuse me," too loud, you're like, "What's up?" Yeah, but like, what's up? What's going on here,
dude? If I have a kid, just like, and she comes home and says that anybody said anything bad to her, or he says anything, I'll just wait outside of school and I'll just give people so much shade. I will slap a 6-year-old. I don't give a shit. I'm just looking for a reason.
I got it. To hit a child or just hit someone?
Well,
you know, what are you gonna do? You know,
man, woman, child, animal. I just want to hit.
Yeah, no, that's
true. And grab this cheeseburger.
Yeah, dude.
No, but I think that's probably one of the reasons why I like Breaking Bad so much is it plays out so many, just so much of that, like, the neutered male fantasy of, like, I'm going to go out there and get this money and I'm going to live this exciting life. Like, one of the things that the pilot is after he goes through this whole ordeal, he comes back home and he, like, really lays a move on Skylar.
Oh, yeah. Because at the beginning...
He's all nervous, and he's such a little pussy.
Yeah, she's trying to give him a birthday hand job, and he can't even get it up. And then at the end, he's like Mr. Fucking Hard Dick.
Yeah.
Comes in, fucks her from behind.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is your favorite part of the episode.
Yeah.
Also, surprisingly, for an AMC show, there was full tit.
Yeah, well, I think that Breaking Bad might have been... Well, no, probably Mad Men more was the... I'm playing on the line of that. Breaking Bad is not really a fucky show.
No, because there was just the woman that Jesse was fucking across the street from the house.
Mm.
She's like throwing his clothes out the window and she's just full topless. And I'm just like, what is going on here?
Yeah, that's a weird thing. Jesse as the ladies' man that is in the pilot episode that doesn't feature. It's really one of the least sexual shows.
Yeah.
Of all times. Like Sopranos, super sexual. Mad Men, super sexual. Game of Thrones, the most sexual.
Yeah.
But like this one.
It didn't feel, because it's just like.
It's all dudes talking into hushed tones.
Yeah.
About murder and drugs. And then Skylar fucking whining about it.
Yeah.
But it's crazy that it didn't catch that much heat. Because it's, I mean, I guess it's only white and Hispanic characters. It's super masculine driven.
Yeah.
But. And the only female character is literally the one that is ashamed and whining about all the action and all the fun the boys are having. And nobody really talked that much shit on it. Men and women alike love this show just because the writing is so tight. Good.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to do the thing I do every episode.
Yeah.
So Breaking Bad came out January 20th, 2008. Did you watch from the beginning?
No.
Okay.
I didn't watch until... Midway or season 3 is when I started.
Okay.
Every week.
Cool. Give me a little painting of what your life was like 2000, like when it came out. So like early 2008.
Early 2008, I would have been living here since 2008. No, I was still in college.
Okay.
So I was living in downtown in a house off campus.
And you went to Ohio State?
No.
No, you didn't.
I went to Bucknell University in Pennsylvania. I was getting high every day. I was a theater major, so I was taking my senior thesis on the road to Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh for an American Theater Festival competition. Well, ACTF, I believe it was called.
Ooh.
The play was True West. Me and my buddy did it. We took it on the road and we got fucking first honors because we were a badass little fucking play.
That's great.
And True West also, I think, is made by Sam Shepard. It's like very influential on Breaking Bad.
Really?
Yes. Because it's describing kind of lower class white people from the West.
Yeah.
So like trash.
Yeah.
Which is some of my favorite stuff. It's very underrepresented. A group of people in stuff because like white people are boring in general, but like there's a lot of good white trash stories, man.
Yeah, yeah. The like lower class white is always played as like comic relief in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Like the dumb redneck idiot.
Or it'll be like Deliverance where it's like, and there's a lot of rich white stories, like there's billions and stuff, but white trash is super, super fascinating stuff.
I think it's way more interesting.
Yeah. But I guess there's Sons of Anarchy now. But that's biker subculture. I'm just talking about some dirty, dirty, dirty trash.
Yeah. I feel like the only thing I can think of that was like that was like really showing that was like, honestly, like My Name is Earl.
Yeah.
That was just like.
Well, and yeah, it's weird. It never broke. I guess like Foxworthy Show and shit, but that's even a different form. That's like that's wholesome country. It's not.
Yeah, it's not like dirty, weird.
My Name is Earl was really just trash.
Yeah, that was trash. And hey, I liked it.
I loved it, dude.
That was one of Jason Lee was one of my most heartbreaking Scientologists.
Yes, very strange.
That one doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know if he's still there.
But listen, made the fucking switch from a skateboarder to movie star to long running sick. I mean, My Name is Earl, they got like 3 or 4 years out of that, right?
No, it was more. It was a lot. Yeah, it was like at least 6 or 7.
So who's to say that Scientology shit works, yo?
Yeah, it's fucked.
That's what Giovanni Ribisi is, another sad Scientologist.
Yeah, and his,
but he was born into it.
Oh, that's like Leah Remini was.
Yes, you had no choice. I don't know. I've been meditating a lot. I feel like I could get into Scientology.
Oh, you know why though?
And I've seen Going Clear.
Yeah, didn't we watch it together?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was a fucking. That was like a real.
I wouldn't want to go in as one of the fucking grunts though. I'm trying to get some money and then get into Scientology. That seems the way to be.
That was one of our most silent watches ever because we were just like, oh, what the fuck.
Yeah, I either get you to watch real disturbing shit, or we just watch like Food Network shows, like Cutthroat Kitchen.
there was a blizzard once, and we just powered through all of Chopped that was on Netflix, and then went to Cutthroat Kitchen.
I love it so much.
It was one of the greatest days of my life.
My girlfriend Greta needs like she needs a lot of plot. She like needs MasterChef Junior.
Oh, that's nuts.
And she needs like all of this intrigue. I'm just about like the pure competition.
Yeah, I like because MasterChef Junior, that's like a whole season.
Yeah, and it's like, a lot about like how the kids are developing personally and stuff. And it's just like, I don't care. Can you chop it or can you not?
Yeah, dude, I don't give a fuck. First of all, I never want to see little kids doing something well.
No.
I never want to see that shit.
Because it just reminds me of how inadequate I am.
Yeah, it's like, yo, I'm fucking 29 now. I can barely cook anything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, guess whose fault that is? Mine. I can't even blame that on anyone.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love a cooking show. We were just watching food porn on the way over here.
So Will pulled up an Instagram profile and was showing it to me, and he said on the train, he said the sentence, "This is more sensual to me than porn," and then showed me multiple videos of people cutting into like lava cakes and them just like oozing out, and he was like moaning.
Dude, there is a dulce de leche cake and it's like super spongy on the outside, and they just take a spoon and they dip it right in the middle, and then like a cream pie, like the fucking inner filling fell out, and I was just like,
yeah.
And then they dipped the spoon back in it and let it all drop off the spoon. It was the hottest shit I've ever seen in my entire life.
I never got like the sexual connection with food.
Oh my dude, you watch the Barefoot Contessa?
Yeah, I have watched the Barefoot.
Son, the way that she does things and then she says things, and she is not hot, but like. It's like you were talking about the ASMR.
Yeah.
So on that show, it's fucking crazy.
Oh yeah, because she's always like, "So I'm just gonna
make some of these apples for Jeffrey."
Yeah.
And then she'll cut the apple, and you can just hear the crisp as the knife goes through, and it like drives me wild.
That's the, I never got it like the even like people that like do like the whipped cream. While they fuck and stuff like that. Yeah, I feel like that's
I don't even like taking it into the bedroom. It's purely a food thing.
Yeah, just like watching people cooking food
the noises, the way that it's displayed, the way that things are poured.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you mix in the cheese mix on Kraft macaroni and cheese and then it gets real sticky and squishy, that noise?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's really hot. Like the...
Yeah.
I mean, I can't get enough.
Yeah, I can get enough, I think. I think I can get enough.
Well, you like a little bit of food porn, too.
Yeah, I like watching people cook, but I just like... I don't know what it is, but I don't get, like a sexual feeling from it.
It's not like I'm even getting boned up. It's just the same like pleasure centers to me where I involuntarily, it's not like I'm doing it as a bit. Like I'm thinking in my head when I see it or I hear it, I'll be like, oh God.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I just like watching people, like I like watching cooking stuff because I just like watching people do something well.
Yeah,
but then I also just like food. So
and
I'm
you like process shit.
I love the process.
That's
stuff.
Another OCD thing where it's like I love to watch exactly step by step how something happens because it's an obsessive need to understand it.
Dude, I got when I was in my early 20s, I got obsessed with these videos where you just watched a professional skateboarder put together a skateboard.
Yeah,
that's it. That's the whole thing. I was like, yeah.
Instagram's great for that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like cleaning your room or something or organizing things in your head. Like just being able to watch somebody build a skateboard, make a cake.
Yeah. You're just like, dude, like those. I know a lot of people that don't like them, but those like whatever that was, that like Tasty or whatever. Those people that like make like the it's like the overhead shot of people cooking and you just see hands in there.
Yeah.
It like soothes me.
Yeah.
I just watch and I'm like, yeah,
it's a very harmonious thing. You're watching something being made out of nothing.
Yeah. Because it's just an empty pan, and then all of a sudden you're like, there is chicken and pasta in there now. Like, this is great.
Like, they had nothing, and now they're going to feed a family.
Yeah. Like, they had a goal, and they set out to do it, and then they did it.
Dude, see, this is why, like, a real comic would just want to watch something to, like, get it burned and fall apart to the ground.
Yeah.
It's so hard to be positive comics where it's just like, I just want to see things made.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Like,
George Carlin would be like, I want to watch somebody fuck a cake. And you'd be like, no. Build the cake.
Put another tier on it.
Yeah. If that cake got passed around at the cellar, it'd be just full of, like, dog shit and stuff.
Yeah.
And just like,
yeah.
I just want to make shit.
Yeah. Like, like that's why I like the Great British Baking Show, because it's just like no one's yelling.
Very civil.
It's very civil. It's like wildly pleasant. They're just helping each other, and they're just like, "Well, this is my cake with cardamom and orange rind in it," and then you're just like, "That's exactly what it is." And then the judges, the meanest they'll ever be, like, "Well, they're like, well, you didn't. It wasn't very good." And
yeah,
then
but it's
it.
Not like Simon Cowell.
Yeah,
like, super intense.
Yeah, it's not fucking Gordon Ramsay.
Well, there's a supercut of Gordon Ramsay. The difference between him on Master Chef and Master Chef Junior.
Oh yeah,
and they love to build the suspense on Master Chef Junior and be like, "I'll tell you what, Jasmine. We said that one person was going to be going home today," and then the music goes like, and then he goes, "And it's not you. Good job." And then they cut to the MasterChef clips, and he's just like, "You fucking cut! I hate you!"
Yeah. Even the British Kitchen Nightmares is, like, so much different than the American one.
Oh, it's brutal.
Yeah.
I think he's more theatrical on the American one, but he's more cutting on the British one, where he's just, like, straight up trying to hurt people's feelings.
Yeah, he's just like, "Your food is not good."
But he's a horrible success at Kitchen Nightmares.
They, like, all close down, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's just the restaurant industry is the worst.
Yeah.
Having been in it for a decade, I can tell you, don't get into it. Be an accountant. It's the worst. If you want to have a good restaurant, you have a bad life. You understand? You work too hard.
That's the thing where it's like, yeah, if a restaurant stays open for a long time, you're like, your life's over. That's it. Your whole life is a restaurant. Or you become so famous that you can pay other people to make sure your restaurant runs
well.
Or
you sell your restaurant and then it eventually becomes shit and people think of you as being that guy that sold us all that stupid shit.
Yeah.
Like, nobody thinks Wolfgang Puck is a great chef anymore because you can go to a Wolfgang Puck's in like 50 different cities and it all sucks.
Yeah, yeah. Like Wolfgang Puck in the airport and you're just like, this is fucking trash.
Yeah,
fuck you,
it's
Wolfgang.
It's really gross.
Yeah, like, how did you become a famous chef if this is what you feed me?
He's worth like $400 million. There should be nobody in food worth $400 million unless you own all of avocados or something. Like, yeah, there's Gordon Ramsay's worth like $60 million. It's crazy, man.
I'm honestly shocked he's only worth $60 million, which is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, but yeah, I mean, just think about, it's just an awful, 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 awful business.
Yeah.
I would never, kids, do something better with your lives, man.
There's Tia.
Just like being a chemistry teacher. Don't do that. Sell meth.
Yeah. Don't be a teachers are dumb.
Transition.
We're gonna get back to it. This is good.
Well, and the point of process videos.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad, I think, as
dude, that had the montage in the fucking in the RV when they finally get to the RV when he's making the meth,
showing you how to cook everything, showing you the measuring out.
Oh yeah, that I loved that.
I think that is a huge fetish across like all things now. Like, just think about listening to all the coke rap and trap that I listen to.
Yeah,
it's like so much of it is just like, so we cut it up and we bag it up and then we weigh it out and then we sell it for this much. Yeah. We sell it in these areas to these kinds of people, and if this happens, we're gonna shoot everybody and then we're gonna get arrested. But if you get arrested, you can say like,
yeah, yeah.
I just love learning about the process and like. Breaking Bad, there's so, like, the montages get more and more insane as the series goes on. But one of the touching cornerstones of the show, like, as a reset button, is always a great cook montage.
Yeah.
Because it's like all this fucked up shit will be happening in the world. Like, people are dying outside of the fucking lab where they're cooking. But it's just like, you know what we can always do? We can turn our brains off and cook this fucking meth.
Yeah.
Because that's what the fuck we do.
Which is a crazy thing to be like, the best point of my day is going to cook crystal meth.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. It reminds me of how, like, I am where you have a job where you could just turn off.
Oh, dude.
And then just come out and make your money, and then you step outside of that world, and it's just like, holy shit, this job creates so much tension on all these other things in my life.
Yeah. Now, my job doesn't create a lot of tension in my life, usually, but it is a job where I can just, like, turn off.
Turn off.
Yeah.
I think, well, a lot of, like, so we're talking about this. Yeah. So my dad loves Breaking Bad.
Okay.
My dad is like a very nice suburban lawyer from Ohio, right? But his favorite movie is Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood. Because he's a farm boy.
Yeah.
That like was the first of his family to move to a big city and shit. And he really romanticizes this like Clint Eastwood type of tough, very soft-spoken, carries a big stick kind of guy.
Okay.
And he has, like, a lot of this, I feel like, repressed rage. Yeah. Right? And when you talk to him, like, my dad's worse to me before I went off to college, where these could be the best 4 years of your life. These could be the worst 4 years of your life. You decide. And then he got in the car and he drove away. It was insanely intense.
That's too much to put on an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah. And so I feel like... But part of what Breaking Bad is about, and part of why I think what gave it such a broad appeal, is this feeling of like the family man as this neutered specimen.
Yeah, and as, like, yeah, kind of like the, you know, he like literally in the first episode, they're like, he can't get his dick hard.
Yeah,
because of all the shit he has to, because he's fucking he's a chemistry teacher, and then he has to go work at a car wash at night. And then, like, the guy at the car wash makes him go fucking scrub tires, even though it's his, like, 50th birthday. And then, like, one of his students is there taking pictures of him to laugh at him.
And he has terminal cancer.
Yeah, and he just found out he has fucking... Wait, I can't believe we didn't even get into that. He just found out he had terminal inoperable lung cancer.
That's an interesting topic. If you had terminal cancer, would you... That's the big point. It's just, like, whenever Skylar be talking shit... It's just like, listen, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
You're going to want this money. Now, that's a good, is that a good point? What's the better thing for a guy to do? For him to die, she gets nothing.
Yeah.
Hopefully. And then has to raise a fucking sum of cerebral palsy and a daughter on the way. She's pregnant.
Yeah, yeah.
With nothing, or to try and make a little bit of scratch and then cash out at the right time. And so that when you're gone, you are providing for your children. It came from a good place.
Yeah. Even though it was like completely insane. Like, it's a objectively insane thing to do, is to just turn 50 and then start cooking meth.
Not if it's not insane if you're really good at it. Like, that's why, like, is it crazy, like, if you know you can do something really well to benefit your family?
Yeah, but then the
you're my family, I would do that for you, dude.
You'd start cooking meth for me?
Absolutely. We've already established I'm looking for a reason to punch a baby. I'll start fucking meth for you, dude.
But it's just he's like immediately thrown into like the world of drug dealing. But it's not like little 20 bag weed dealing world, which is
big time. A
world that we know a lot of people who may or may not have been involved in over the course of our life. This is like guys coming at you with guns to your head day two.
Yeah.
You're killing guys with acid, with phosphorus acid in the air day two.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It's like to go from guy, the only man in pop culture who's ever owned a Pontiac Aztec in anything.
That car features prominently. Yeah, that car, for the next 6 years on that show.
What a terrible looking car. What a horrible car.
Super New Mexico, though.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, just to go from chemistry, like, neutered, dickless chemistry teacher and cashier at a car wash to like murderous meth dealer in like a week is wild. To say the least, it's wild.
It's a big transition.
Yeah.
But I think that, I think that it's to want to provide for your family when nothing's going to happen. I don't know. Like, when I know that I'm going to die, my moral compass would go out the window.
Yeah.
And I would just want to help those I need. Now, one of the things about the show is like, well, how much do you need?
That's, yeah. Like,
and
what's
at what cost? Like, does you doing this, even though you're going to die, does this mean that now you're putting your family in so much trouble that after you're gone, they're going to die?
Yeah, people are going to come for them. Or even if you die and then get caught, is the government going to come for the money? Shit like that.
But one of the things that also happens is, like, so much happens from just this initial decision to do it the first time.
Yeah.
That there's no point in the series from the rest of the time that he makes that first decision that he can ever back out cleanly.
Yeah.
There's no point in the series. Like, it's not even a conversation on the show of you can quit now and forever hold your peace. Like, once he's in the game, he's in the fucking game. He has no opportunities to quit because there's always somebody coming after him. There's always somebody that if he stops, they'll kill him, they'll take his money, whatever. So he always had to fight for everything. And one of the things that gets complicated as you go on with the show is just like, I don't know, man. You started off with the best of intentions.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like well-intentioned people are allowed to do bad shit. That's how I feel. That's what the show made me feel.
But then at what point does a well-intentioned person become not a well-intentioned person anymore? Like, when do you switch, become a bad person? Is it day two when you murder two guys with acid? Or is it because they were trying to kill you and your friends? Is that, or, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's like a personal, like, there's like a personal line of where do you think, what gives you permission to do this stuff and still feel like a good person? That's the thing, where it's like every person, it feels different. There's some people who are murderers who just like, but everything was, it was always justified to them. Everything they've ever done has been justified. So to them, they're not bad people.
So you're saying that I might be a sociopath? No, I get it, man. Nah, great.
No.
I guess, yeah, that's when I really think back on it now, that's the thing with Mad Men and Sopranos, Breaking Bad, it's all about that same issue of how far is your moral compass and what do you actually value in life? And as we mentioned earlier, I'm the guy that wanted to smoke crack to get listeners on a podcast. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, but also I think it's a big, huge difference between watching a television character do this stuff and a real person doing this stuff. I think if you found out, like, this...
If I saw a real person with a kid with cerebral palsy and a baby on the way with terminal cancer who had to take shit at the fucking car wash and was gonna die and not leave his family with a penny, and he was like, Will, I'm gonna sell meth, I would be like, I can't help you, but I fuck with you.
Yeah. You're like, I support the idea of you.
Yeah.
But I can't. I support the idea of you, but I can't personally be involved in this.
Yes. I'm good. In reality, I don't need that.
Yeah.
But, you know, desperate people, man. Fucking, what's Walter Jr. going to do without his dad?
That's true.
He needs help.
Probably won't have to worry about eating that shitty ass looking veggie bacon anymore. You know, I was like, it was kind of good. To me personally, I was like, why are you guys making such a stink about it? It ain't that bad. Also, just the amount of food he got.
Yeah, he got a lot to eat.
It was like a full plate to the brim of scrambled eggs with like 8 pieces of bacon on top. I was like, this man eats.
That growing boy, that New Mexico diet, baby. Yeah.
Like, what a... that's such a perfect setting for this. Because when I think meth, I don't think... I guess I don't know what... I don't know what region I think.
I think meth is everywhere.
Yeah, it really is.
I went to college in the middle of Pennsylvania, and it was bananas.
Yeah.
It's like every single grocery store, it's fucking locked up, the Sudafed and everything.
Yeah.
You have to get a clerk to come over
and grab it
for you. When I go home to Ohio, it's not like that.
Yeah. But, yeah, Long Island's not like that, but that's because it's all heroin there.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know why what makes some areas more methy and some more dopey.
Yeah. Well, Long Island, there's no... You don't have the space, I don't think, to cook meth.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think everything's so
meth,
close together.
You need
together.
To be in the woods, or you need to be in the desert. You need to be away from people.
Yeah, and then because I know with Long Island, but I think it's everywhere, is the problem, the heroin problem is from, like, oxys and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where it's like everyone, when those kind of, because those are like a newer-ish drug, like 90s or so. That's when OxyContins came out. So people were doing it then. And then one pharmaceutical company, this is where I get a little like fucking tinfoil hat, like conspiracy theory, where it's like, I think that like pharmaceutical companies pretend to be upset that people are addicted to their drugs like OxyContin and stuff, but the supply has never gone down.
They're trying to make money.
Exactly. So they're gonna keep pumping them out. People are gonna keep getting fake prescriptions and shit like that, or needing them, but then selling them instead and shit like that. So it's never not gonna be a problem.
Oh yeah.
So
it's only gonna get worse. It's bananas.
Yeah.
When I've been down to Florida, it's funny. Florida is like the most oxied out, pilled out place I've ever been to in my entire life. Like Orlando.
Oh, yeah.
People just sit in their houses and pop Percocet all day and take oxys. And it's just it's a strange way to live, man.
Yeah. And just like fucking lay
melt
around
on the couch.
Yeah.
But that's so funny. I don't know what makes an area methy versus heroiny. Like, why? There can be nothing less enticing to me than being on meth in the desert.
Yeah.
I've taken ecstasy with little bits of meth in it before, and it's a whole nother level. It's different than coke. It's different than Adderall.
What is – I am, like, very naive to all drugs. So what is the ecstasy with meth feel like versus regular ecstasy or just, like, whatever?
Well, all ecstasy is different.
Yeah, because it's all just fucking made in
it's
somebody's
– like,
whatever.
It has MDMA in it, and then there's different combinations of other shit.
Yeah.
So there's usually something to bring you up and something to bring you up a little bit down.
Okay.
I took this one pill called Transformers.
Okay.
Which I heard had heroin and meth in it.
Oh.
Along with MDMA. And it was rad. I took it on New Year's Eve, and I danced for like 7 hours straight. I ended up taking a little bit of mushrooms that night, too. I was really on one. I was like 21, the wild kid. And I had a great time. Yeah. But the methiness quality of it, it's different. Like, it's not like you're up and clear. It's kind of like you're moving around and you really don't know why and you're not controlling your body.
Yeah.
And you're super sweaty. It wouldn't be a fun time. I can't imagine it's ever a fun time.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, why would you – how do you get addicted to that feeling?
I mean,
like,
I've actually – over. I've taken a bunch of Robitussin before, which is the same shit that's in meth. It's just not distilled.
Yeah.
The least pleasant time of my entire life.
Yeah, you did some robo-tripping.
Yeah, it turns you into a real lizard idiot, and, like, all you want to do is bone and, like, just run around and tinker with shit. Like, when you see people tweaking,
they
just want to do anything, but they can't – their brain doesn't work well enough to do anything
so
at all.
So they're just, like, fucking moving around and shit. Yeah. That's, like, that whole, like – I mean, I lived in upstate New York for a couple of years, and that's, like, a – like, there – that is, like, the – smashing together of methy and dopey. Like, that upstate New York is like tweakers and dope fiends. It's like, at once you get 20 minutes outside of like a city there, it's like, it's sad and like desolate. And even half of the cities in upstate New York are like fucking, because they've all been ravaged by the death of industry in America, where it's like Syracuse and Buffalo and Rochester used to be like big, like, you know,
like mid cities.
Yeah, like even Cleveland, like shit like that, where it's like it was at one time a vibrant city, and then once industry was gone, what the entire city was built on, it's like what the fuck happened here? Like the auto industry in Detroit, it's like it happened so many times.
Yeah, it's weird. Meth always connotes like a certain amount of like crack seems like a city drug, right?
Yeah.
Crack seems more refined than meth.
Because crack, all you need is a stove.
All you need is a stove if you want to cook your crack.
That's like a hook that like a big sweaty dude sings. All you need is a stove. There's just some dude cooking on the stove.
Dude, we just wrote a hit single.
I think so.
Yeah. It's weird the amount of work that's needed for meth.
The amount of work to what you get, like the risk versus reward.
Yeah, it's like almost if somebody was doing meth, I'd be like, why don't you just smoke crack?
Yeah. You know, all of it is bad for you.
All of it's bad.
But at least crack is like, I can't believe I'm defending the merits of crack cocaine right now.
It's just water, baking soda, and cocaine.
Yeah.
It's not all the filler of meth.
See, crack is the kombucha of drugs.
Yeah.
And meth is like the Mountain Dew. You know, that's a little
shout out Mountain Dew, though. We love you.
Yeah. So that's what it's like. But I don't know, dude. Like that, like, I don't understand like drug addiction at all. Because I've never really done drugs. So it's like a foreign concept to me in general. But there's some more than others that I understand. Like the upsides to cocaine seem to be pretty big. The upsides.
But then everything is just diminishing returns.
Exactly. Like heroin is literally everyone gets addicted and is trying to have it feel as good as the first time they did heroin.
And it makes them so sick to not have it.
Yeah. Where it's like you're not even doing it to feel good anymore. You're just doing it to not feel bad.
Yeah.
And that shit. But it's like meth, it seems like immediately bad. Like never, not once does it feel good in your body.
Yeah, no. I don't think there's like any romance period to meth because it's always pretty dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the cool, but that's why it really feels like some hillbilly shit, because it's like, you just don't know any better, dog.
Yeah.
Like, if you knew better, I could put you onto this crack, but why are you fucking around with this meth? It fucks up your teeth.
Yeah.
Like, crack, you'll look bad, but you're not gonna have the fucking meth face. Like, a drug that changes the way that your face is fucking shaped.
Yeah, that's...
No, dude, brutal. I mean, Central Pennsylvania, just you see wild shit at the gas stations. You know?
Yeah, that's some stuff like from playing in bands and stuff, and just like playing weird cities and weird little towns, and just driving across the country. You just got to stop and get gas some places, and you're just like, I can't imagine living here. Like, I can't. There's five of us, and I'm still scared to walk from the van to the gas station to pay for the gas we're about to get.
It's like some children in the corn shit. Yeah. Like, you don't even know.
Like, all of a sudden, so like one of you is just getting...
We're such assholes, though. They're probably just lovely people.
Yeah, no. No, I mean, but there's just some spots that are just like, you're like, nah, I can't do this shit.
I mean, if I dress like this, like, I'm just wearing, like, desert boots and black jeans, but black on black. If I drive to Boston right now, I feel like just a crazy outsider.
Yeah.
I mean, they will call me, like, a hipster and shit and look at me like they're going to lynch me. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ, guys. I'm fucking fashionable. I'm from the city.
Sorry. Yeah, that's the thing where it's, like, being in, like, punk bands and stuff, you're like, oh, we're all wearing, like, jeans cut into short shorts and
tattoos
cut off like denim vests, and you're just like, well, we still gotta get gas in Alabama. You know, we gotta do it.
We wanted to live this life.
Yeah we chose that. No one's forcing us to do this. No one's forcing you to drive 8 hours to play for 11 minutes. No one's doing it. You asked for it. And you're just like, fuck
yeah, man. Well, I've kind of combined the Walt. I have a Jesse Pinkman face. I've been told that Aaron Paul is my lookalike.
I don't think so.
I have the Walter White shaved dome.
Yeah, nah, dude. I think you're Jason Statham all the way.
Dog, I'm about to blow your mind. I'm gonna show you a side by side of me and Aaron Paul, and it's like the same high forehead.
Yeah,
like. Listen, I'm honest with myself. If I'm anything, I'm TV attractive, okay? I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not a silver screen motherfucker. Neither is Aaron. You don't want us too big.
Like, no.
We're big in small doses.
Like
I'm about to blow your fucking mind.
Like Brendan Fraser is not like, he's not movie star good looking.
It's pretty close.
I mean, it is, but
pretty close.
Yeah, this is a visual. I'll do something. If I'll do a side by side, I'll send it out somehow.
It's pretty close.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty close. I don't know. I still think you have more of a Jason Statham look, though.
Jason Statham is
a nice, strong jaw.
Yeah.
You got that.
Well, that's because I've been lifting lately, guys. I mean, let's be honest here.
I will be honest. You have been lifting lately. But you also don't have, he has like Jesse Pinkman
baby-ish.
Has, but he also has permanent wild eyes, and you have like, and you have like a, you have like a, an inherent
squint.
No, like a softness to your eyes. You're definitely, we're holding hands now. You're more of an emotional man than Aaron Paul, I think.
Oh, dog, you got to watch the rest of the show. He gets mad emotional.
Really?
I do appreciate the note about the softness in the eyes.
Yeah, I think it's like the difference between, like when someone has, like, wild eyes like that, I'm immediately uncomfortable around them. I'm like, I can't trust you. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Your movements are too quick and, like, lizard-like, like... it's just too much.
I get that. Yeah, I have a more relaxed energy and less of a cokey energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get
that. Could have also been from the character, you know, he played a meth head for 6 years.
No, it's his whole shit. He's playing the same shit on that Hulu show.
Oh, yeah.
The Path.
Yeah, I never watched that.
It's always a guy with smoldering intensity with a deep, dark secret.
Oh, he always has a deep, dark secret.
When he talks, on The Path, dude. He's great on it. He gives this one monologue. It's just like, it's funny. Don't you ever think it's funny where we just accept certain guys as great actors, but it's just like they kind of just do the same shit that they've always done? Like, doesn't Mel Gibson always play either a quick-witted ladies man or a smoldering psycho on the verge of killing everybody in the room?
Yeah, he's either Lethal Weapon or he's Braveheart.
Yeah, it's the same. Those are the Lethal Weapon and the Brain Fart are the same dude. Like, you killed my wife. I'm going to pound my shoulder against the thing. I'm going to kill everybody here.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, and then we wonder why he's such a psycho.
Yeah.
Or it's like Leonardo always plays a dude who bangs a lot, does a lot of drugs, and is on like the verge of losing his mind.
And then
I wonder if Leonardo DiCaprio is not doing that in real life.
Oh, no, he's definitely doing that in real life.
Right.
Also, I love that the new cool guy hipster look that I've noticed this summer is Leonardo DiCaprio in Romeo and Juliet. That's what I've seen, like 8 guys dressed exactly like that since it's gotten warm out. It's the Hawaiian shirt open with the wife beater tucked into like Dickies or like dress pants almost.
He was gorgeous in that movie. Yo.
Beautiful. Oh my God. I look at those pictures sometimes and I'm just like, how could you make a
the
face
the way
this
that
night?
The hair was draped just ever so.
And dude, like looking at him now, you're just like, oh man.
My sister had the CD-ROM of that video game.
Really?
It sucked.
I didn't even know that thing existed.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dude. Beautiful.
That was... What a great time to be, like, young and learning about sex for that movie to come out.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, just something for the whole fucking family. Like, I mean, girls were, like, watching Leo. He never got more beautiful than that. He started to get that alcoholic little bit of bloat around him, even the Departed, like he was just a little bit bloated out. Like, Leo's fucking jawline in Romeo and Juliet is the greatest it ever was.
Yeah,
he was the hair coolest looking. Oh, the hair is fucking beautiful.
It's great. The clothes, he has the beautiful gun.
Oh,
he has it all,
dude. And he, and Claire Danes, good lord, a great time to be a dude. She was gorgeous.
Yeah,
the scene with the ball scene where she comes out with the angel wings. And Leo's looking at her through the fountain. Now I sound like I'm describing one of those food processing videos.
Do you think it's just because we were growing up around then? But I think of that time as maybe the greatest time to be a woman learning about their sexuality. Like that was like peak.
You had Jared Leto, Leonardo DiCaprio,
all the boy bands, all that shit.
Yeah, no, dude, they were eating.
Yeah, because it's like guys,
and they had dope girls bands like Destiny's Child coming out. And
but
like,
we always have that shit because we also have like Sports Illustrated,
action movies, wrestling,
all that like Playboys at the barber shop, like all that shit.
Probably it was definitely the best time for them ever.
Yeah, I think that is like the peak of women learning about their sexuality, being like, I have this smorgisboard of...
Even thinking about today, I don't think there are as many, like, just, like, fucking... Or maybe this is just we pride
we
what
just,
we liked.
Yeah, or
but
we
I
just
think,
don't
like,
know.
Just in terms of extreme hotties,
yeah,
our generation had the best. We had the hottest.
Only
hotties.
90s kids are going to remember being horny as hell. That's
everybody
it.
Everybody would just look cool as shit.
Yeah. It was great. I don't know. Yeah. So I guess we should talk about Breaking Bad a little more.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I thought it was cool. Let's see. I got some more notes.
Give it to me.
I wrote down wife is bad, but sister is worse.
Sister, yeah. Her Skylar's, Hank's wife.
Yeah, Hank's wife. Brutal.
Yeah, she only gets more brutal, but she, I mean, dude, just the great, all the women on this show, you eventually learn why you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, because you're just like, you're just immediately,
you get annoyed,
like,
with her by being like, shut the fuck up, stop fucking complaining.
Yeah.
And then you start to, like, she gets involved deeper and deeper in this lie, and everything that she's ever wanted is completely validated. They're both like the most pure-hearted good ladies that just want the best for their husbands and their children, and
but Skylar,
shit on.
But Skylar's sister was like nagging at Skylar, this is just from the first episode, but like, oh, like when they're having that conversation about like Skylar writing a book and stuff like that, you're just like, come get off her fucking case.
Yeah.
But I also think that might be a weird thing with me, because it's like, I just don't have that close of a relationship with my siblings, where it's like, if my sister ever tells me that, I'd be like, what the fuck off. if my sister tried to like, she's like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe I'll give you notes on your comedy one day or something. I'd be like, no, what? Shut the fuck up. Who the fuck do you think you are?
That's some sister shit, though, man.
Yeah.
There's real love there, but there's also, I don't know, they're trying to help each other out.
Yeah.
That's the way my sisters are. It's like there's certain shit that can be said and can be not, and one's getting on the other's case. But it's also like the one who's not the mom is going to try and be the mom to the other one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, get off this pregnant lady's case. She don't need to write a book. She's trying to chill. Shut the fuck up. Yeah, yeah. Why don't you go have a baby? Oh, yeah. You can't? Shut up. Nobody cares.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I thought it was great. I really liked it. That's the thing where it's like I'm watching all these shows now, and I'm like, oh, this show is great. I probably still won't watch it.
Now, is it just a resist? Do you think you just don't have the attention span for shows? You don't want to watch the shows? What's the issue?
It's okay. It is more of the attention. The older I get, the lower my attention span is.
I agree with that.
I used to be able to just, even 10 years ago, I could sit down and when I would buy like, you know, DVD box sets, I would sit down and watch an entire DVD, you know, 8-10 episodes of a show, watch like 10 Seinfelds in a row, just be like, yeah, this is great. And now, so the attention span is bad, and it's like, I find it overwhelming, the amount of episodes. So I'm just like, oh, there's 100 episodes. That's 100 hours. That's crazy. That's over two full. That's like, I just imagine it being over two full work weeks.
Yeah.
Of like, what if your job was to just sit there for 8 hours a day and watch Breaking Bad? I'm like, it immediately just makes me feel like tense and just like overwhelmed just thinking about it.
Well, that's, I think, the thing that I'm not sure. Breaking Bad might be the last thing that ever really held me like that, where I didn't have to look at my phone. And that's just, I don't know if that's just because I wasn't as obsessed with my phone back then, but the show, it feels like it's specifically crafted so that you can't look away and that you have to watch every week.
Yeah,
you have to pick it up season after season.
Yeah, because every scene feels important.
And every scene is important to that season.
Yeah.
It's really no fat. And that's what I, like, kind of cool when you think about Vince Gilligan's career, the creator. So he did X-Files first.
Yeah.
Which is like, could you have a more meandering, loosely put together show than X-Files? Now, each episode is pretty thrilling, but all episodes of the X-Files are very different.
Yeah, and they're all unlike Breaking Bad, they're all, you know, like there is like a, like most shows, like there's an overarching like story arc, but then like X-Files is way more contained, like self-contained episodes.
Yeah.
Like you can just pop on a random episode in the middle of a season and it'll be fine.
There might be one thing that's the continuing story of the season, but it's mentioned for 2 minutes in an episode.
Exactly. And you're just mostly like, oh, we got to find this body of a wolf man or whatever.
And it's like the least personal show of all time.
Yeah.
Like Mulder, like they suggest, I love how they make Mulder a porn addict.
Yeah.
But it's definitely because David Duchovny is can't keep his dick in his pants, which is why he's also playing a ladies' man on Californication. It doesn't make sense on the surface. But the more you learn about Duchovny, he's out there, he's a stick man. He's putting it on you.
He's out there just wagging it around in all over Hollywood.
Yeah, but like he made the most meandering, impersonal show of all time, and then he made the most to the point personal show of all time. And like, yo, that's badass. That's really fucking cool, man. He didn't try and combine, you know, David Chase tries to make The Sopranos both of those things.
Yeah.
But it's like, I kind of like Vince Gilligan being like, no.
Do you think that Breaking Bad was almost like a reaction to The X-Files?
I bet. I mean, that was a long-running TV show.
Yeah.
It's
also wild that it was like The X-Files was on for whatever, like 9 seasons on Fox. And then this is before, like Breaking Bad was like AMC's kind of first foray into like, you know, like prestige television. So it's crazy that it's like he couldn't have got Breaking Bad on any other television network.
No. Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely a reaction. It was definitely like perfect timing for everything to come together. And as far as like screenwriting goes, not every show should be like Breaking Bad. Like I'm writing shit now and it's more meandering.
Yeah.
Like we're trying to make like an Eyes Wide Shut for a dude like me.
Okay.
And just like a wild roaming New York City night script, right?
Yeah.
And I'm writing that, but this shows the power of a log line. Vince Gilligan was like, I want to take the nicest, most disadvantaged, most spit upon dude in the world. I want to give him the highest stakes. I want to turn a chemistry teacher into the biggest meth dealer in New Mexico.
Yeah.
That's what my show's going to be about. And then, it's like...
And just every week, that's it.
And if you give yourself a timeline, you're like, there were negotiations. He wanted to end it earlier. And then AMC was just like, no, for the sixth season, you're going to divide it into two mini seasons.
Ugh,
he had everything planned out.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to tell this whole story in six seasons. Now the last season is 6A and 6B because they aired a year apart.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say everything that I have to say. And it's fully encapsulated. It's kind of like the coolest. As far as hour-long television goes with a mission statement.
Yeah.
And somebody executing it and following through on it. And not pandering to the network to keep it going for as long as possible. Like, how dope is Weeds? And then Weeds, they write themselves a bigger hole every season. So it just gets weirder and weirder.
Yeah.
And like, Breaking Bad, it was like, no, we're not going to write ourselves into holes. Well, we will. But there's a time frame that this is going to be completed in.
Yeah. That's crazy to just be like, this is what I'm going to do. Yeah. I'm going to do this many shows.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this many episodes. So we have to figure it out between then and then.
There's only like one episode of Breaking Bad that is meandering. And that was like their art piece where I know I said earlier that we don't have the episodes like Sopranos, but we do. There's a fly that gets lost in the lab. And that's what the whole episode is about.
Mm.
But it's one.
Yeah.
It's just one, dude.
That's one out of six seasons.
There's no, like, yeah, like, little subplot, like, oh, today they go to the mall.
Yeah, it's, like, no fucking Uncle Junior, Christopher episodes, shit like that.
Yeah, dude. It's
fucking... No Meadow episodes.
Yeah, don't give me a Meta episode. I want to cut to Biz.
Yeah. That's, yeah. I don't know. I thought it was great. That's one of those, this is one of those things, though. It's, like, I almost kind of want to start watching, but it would take me so long, but to like start watching these like how they're aired, like watching one episode a week.
Yeah, and it's just been like, so long since I've even tried that. I'll do that with Shark Tank,
just like watch one
a week.
Yeah,
because it's not good for me to get in the habit of binge watching Shark Tank, but everything else I binge.
Yeah,
but to be honest, well, no, I did that with Leftovers.
You binged it?
No, I watched everything the whole time, actually. I watched everything week to week.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was a dope. I just liked the way that show looked when I first saw it.
Plus, Justin Theroux is so handsome.
So fucking hot, dude. So hot.
Yeah.
I love everything about that show. I was a big Lost guy.
Yeah. I see. That's another one I haven't seen.
I mean, kind of the best. While you were watching it, I'm sure it's played out now, and I bet it would be kind of corny because it is so sentimental, and some of the shit is, like, cheap-looking and really stupid.
Yeah.
But, like, while I was watching it, you couldn't tell me there was a better show. When there's a John Locke episode,
yeah,
it changes your life.
I have, like, there's so many people I know that are, like, obsessed with Lost, and I'm just like, I don't get it. I don't get the whole thing. Nah, man. It ain't gonna happen. I know that. Mad Men and Sopranos are the only two shows that we've done that I've watched multiple episodes of after I watched the pilot. So I watched a full season of Sopranos. I watched the full first season of Sopranos, and I'm like four episodes into Mad Men now.
Dude, Sopranos is the show that I will watch. I can just watch any episode, any season.
Yeah.
And it brings great comfort to me.
That's how I feel about Seinfeld. You just pop on any episode and I'm just like, yeah.
Cheers is great for that.
Yeah, I was never really a Cheers guy. Like, I don't dislike it, but it's one of those things where I was just like, yeah, it's just around.
Cheers is great, man.
Yeah.
Woody, fucking Sam. Come on.
Well, you know, with that argument, how could I not?
Yeah, Cheers is great.
Yeah. All right. It's getting a little hot and sweaty in here. I think we've talked enough about Breaking Bad. I thought it was good. I'll probably watch more episodes. I mean, I liked it a lot. I love Walter. I love Walt Jr.
Love Walt Jr., yeah.
Fuck you, Skyler.
Fuck you, Mom.
Nah, you're...
Mom?
Yeah. She just wants what's best for everyone.
I know. It's just, it's a good, dude, the show gets so, I love my mom. I'm really nice to my mom.
Yeah.
I didn't like Skylar. She seemed like a little bit like she was on top of my shit. I'm just trying to sell this meth.
Did you get this money? Did you really think you were Walter after a while?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that's how in it you get.
That's why you started wearing desert boots?
Yeah, I'm wearing desert boots. I'm out here shaving my head. Fucking.
It's great.
Screaming into my cell phone, looking for my little meth addict cohort. That's how I roll.
I love it. Cool. This is great. You know how the end of episodes works. Do you want to do some plugs?
Yeah, you can find me at will.the.winner on Instagram and winterwill on Twitter. You can listen to my podcast, The Good, The Dad, and The Ugly, available on iTunes. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's great. I'm at Mike Abruzzi on everything. Listen to this, please. Keep listening to this.
Yeah.
Rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Give us a little 5-star for fun or whatever, how many stars you want, but it seems like a 5-star show to me. Yeah, thank you. You can email us tvcasualtypod@gmail.com. I've never checked it. So there could be emails in there that I just haven't. I should probably look into that soon. And yeah, that's it. And yeah, just follow me around. Find me in New York City and just follow me around. It'll be fun. Cool. All right. Thank you. Good night. It's so hot. Goodbye.